Thank you, O Lord, for the promises of Scripture that this world, this life is not the end, but that eternal life, knowing you, is what it's all about. Father, open our eyes as we seek to understand your word. Help us, Lord. We pray by your Spirit, help us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you a subject? Are you a servant? Are you under the rule of another? Are you under the authority of another? And think about your day today. As you leave this place, you will get in your car and drive somewhere. And many of you will not go quite as fast as you would like to go because you are subjecting yourselves to a higher authority. Many of you will go to Walmart. Probably most of you will go to Walmart right after church. It seems like everybody's there. And you will subject yourself to the authority of Walmart and pay them for what you get off of their shelves. Many of you will then go out to eat. Go to eat somewhere, and you will eat before you pay, and then you will subject yourself to that restaurant and pay them. And then many of you will go home to a family or others at home, and someone will ask you, hey, will you do me a favor? Could you get me a glass of water? Would you fix this leaky faucet? And you will gladly say to that person that needs help, No. You will tell them, of course. Subjection happens every day and probably every hour for most of us in this room. We subject ourselves to something that's going on around us. This morning, we look in the scripture of how what the end game of subjection is, and the Apostle Paul teaching the church at Corinth, in the end, there's only one head honcho, and we'll find out who that is. If you have your Bible, please open up with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we've been walking through this chapter on the resurrection. And as it has been a difficult year in the life of our church, we have lost many of our beloved church members, family members, mentors, people that we care deeply about. And I find it no coincidence that we have been spending much time in this chapter on the resurrection. And the Lord is reminding us that it is not the end for these beloved men and women of God that we cherish. But there will be a day that we will meet them again to worship Jesus together. If you've missed us the last few weeks, we've talked about the Christian life. Well, Christian life is different than other lives. The Christian life is not about this life under the sun. It's about something much bigger. It's not just these days that we have on earth, and that's important, and Christians need to live that way. We should be the people most pitiful and most pitied by the world if Christianity is not true. Pascal's wager does not apply to us in the way that we live our Christian life. And then last week we looked at death is the last enemy. But he is not a victor over us. Death is no victor over Christians because of the new life, the resurrected life that Jesus Christ brings us. Today, submission or subjection to authority. And John, as he read it earlier this morning, I hope that the word sank in with you. So are you with me here this morning? Young people, no children's church today. So join with us as we talk about this morning. You can probably relate, young folks. You do listen to your mom and dad a whole lot. And they tell you things that you should and shouldn't be doing. And I want to give you some breaking news. When you grow up, you don't really get to do whatever you want. Am I right, adults?
Yeah.
I got some amens on that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God the Father. And who's delivering the kingdom? The Lord Jesus Christ, he delivers the kingdom, and that is the people under his rule and his reign, the people under his authority. You are delivered up, and not a one is lost, he tells us in the Gospel of John. Jesus tells us, I do not lose any of my sheep. They are delivered to God the Father after having been delivered to the Son. Jesus gives them back to the Father, us back to the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. And remember, death being the last enemy. And here he says, For he must reign. Who's reigning?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ is reigning until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. How many of you have ever trained a dog? Anybody have a dog you've trained? Potty trained? I mean, anything? All right. If you got a dog, I remember growing up, and my dad, we had a dog, and every now and then something would happen, and the dog would go to the bathroom in the house. Ever had that happen? Yeah. And I can remember my dad taking my dog's face and just rubbing it right by the problem area, and enforcing to that dog who was boss. I'm sure nobody in this room has ever done that, right? And that's the picture I get when I read this. It is a stepping on the neck, if you will. It is a triumphing over. And what dog training really is you're showing the dog that you're the boss. That's all dog training is. The dog realizes you're in charge. He's not. He better do what you say or he's going to get in trouble. Is that not obedience school? For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And Jesus is, in an exclamatory way, saying, death, you have no authority. I'm the boss, and I have life. You cannot take it away. So Christian, find great glory in that. That you serve and love Jesus Christ, the author of life. You are not subject to death in the way that the world is subject to death. We get to verse 27. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, what Paul is doing here is he's quoting from Psalm 8. Many of you know Psalm 8. It's a great psalm. Let's read it together. Paul is alluding to the subjection that God is putting everything and showing that he is an authority over all things. And I love the music that was chosen this morning. Fits right in with this idea. Let's read Psalm 8 together. Let's read it together. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Does that sound like somebody that's in charge? You've set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes. In other words, he will take the weakest of the weak and show that he is stronger than the strong. To still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, says the psalmist, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Who am I? What is man that you even consider me or think of me? And the Son of Man, that you care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Oh God, I stand up, I look at the sun and the moon, and I realize how small that I am. And by the very word of your voice, all of these things come into being. Oh, God, who am I? Says the psalmist. Verse 6. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The psalmist is teaching us, and this is what many of the psalms do. of the great glory and honor and authority of God in heaven, and yet he has given man authority and honor here on earth. There's a reason we can take Fido and stick our foot on his neck. It is God-given authority. And it is not for us to be tyrants or despots in this world. It is not for us to mock the weak. It is not for us to abuse our environment or trash our environment because we can. It is to reflect the glory and very being of who God is. Look again at verse 6, if you can pull that verse up again, Miss Stacy. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Now, the way we read that psalm, we understand that man has been given dominion. And again, we are a reflection of God's glory, and we have been given dominion in this world, and things have been under the feet of man. And this is what Paul says, for God, when he quotes it, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. And we can read this in light of the New Testament interpretation of it, meaning that he has put all things under Christ's feet, and that all authority had been given to Jesus Christ. And in saying that, friends, here's what we all need to understand. While we have authority here on this world, in this world we have authority over many things. Parents, you have authority, God-given, over your children. Adults, you have authority over resources, time, money. Church, you have authority over the governance of this body of believers and the resources that are here. But your authority is not unbound. Your authority is under a greater authority. And church, we gladly proclaim that the name of our greater authority is whom?
Jesus
Christ our Lord. So church, as we live our lives, we must understand that we are not ultimately unbound in our authority with what we have. And many times we say, well, you know, they're an adult, they can do whatever they want to do. And there's truth to that. But it is not an unbound truth to say, yes, but whatever you do, you will answer before your owner, your supervisor, your God, Jesus Christ. So let me share with you, if you're here, if you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord. And we don't just say that as another name for him. That is a position. So church, let me remind you, if you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit. And in fact, when you look at the Beatitudes in which Jesus shared to us, the very first one is, blessed are the what? The poor in spirit. Those who can humble themselves in their spirit. Meaningful? Absolutely meaningful. Let me give you a few biblical examples. Let me say it again. If you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit. Psalm 81. Listen to this one. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. What was the great problem the Lord had with his people Israel? They would not what? Submit to him. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts, to follow their own counsel. Sounds a lot like Romans 1, doesn't it? Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hands against their foes. If you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit. Romans chapter 8. Look at the mind of the Christian, how Paul describes it here. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not do what? Submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. If you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit. Christians, by definition, submit to God. Ephesians 5:24, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands and everything. Hebrews 13:17. Look at this one. Obey your leaders and what? Church members. Obey your leaders, the elders in the church, the leadership in the church. Obey your leaders and submit to them. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. If you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit. There is no Christianity without submission. Young people, there is no Christianity without submission. Brother Jason has been teaching you that. Brother Chaz, for 5 years, taught you that. There's no Christianity without submission. Look at James chapter 4, verse 7. Here's another one. Read it to me, church. Who are we submitting to? God. If you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit. And the very first step of submittal is submitting to the Savior that bore your stripes on a tree, was buried, rose again to demonstrate His authority over death, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning. Do you want to be a Christian? Then you have to submit to Jesus Christ the Lord and say, not my will, but yours be done. This is the entrance, the gateway into Christianity. Father, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need to submit to your rule and your reign. I have made myself God long enough. Now I will submit to the true God, Jesus Christ the Lord. This is the entrance into Christianity. If you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit. Now let's take that a step further, as Paul does. And here's my question for you. Why is it so important? Why does it matter that we submit? There are more of us than there are of God. Why do we need to submit to Him? We can't even see Him. Why should we submit to Him? He's allowed bad things to happen in the world. Why should we submit to Him? I'm angry at Him for this. I didn't get my way. Why should I submit to Him? These are questions that are asked every day and reaffirmed every day by people that we know and love. Why is submission important? Let's keep reading in 1 Corinthians 15. And we're in verse 27. For God has put all things in subjection under His feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that He is accepted who put all things in subjection under Him. Who is accepted from that? That is Jesus Christ the Lord. Meaning we've been given authority, Psalm 8, over this world, but we haven't been given authority over whom? Over Jesus. Jesus is accepted who put all things in subjection under Him. When all things are subject to Him, the Son Himself will also be subjected to Him who put all things in subjection under Jesus, that God may be all in all. Now this is hard to read. So let me, if I may, proclaim this to you or explain to you what's going on here, at least what I believe is going on here. And it is this. Jesus Christ the Lord, all things will be subject to Him. That includes you and I. And every other individual here on this earth. Every knee, the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess what? that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2 tells us. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Church, the Bible clearly proclaims that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Very clearly. But it also, in these verses, says, when all things do come under subjection of Jesus, verse 28, then the Son Himself, Jesus Himself, will be subjected to the Father, to Him who put all things in subjection under Jesus, that God, the Father, might be all in all. Now, what does this mean? And many people take this idea of God is all in all out of context. What he's talking about here is this. Every breath that you breathe is under the authority of Jesus Christ. Every life that is given in the womb and every life that expires to the grave is under the subjection of Jesus Christ. And he is the Lord. However, as we saw in the garden, a prelude to this moment, to this moment that Paul speaks of, when the kingdom has been delivered, when you and I have been delivered to Jesus, Jesus takes us and then says, Father, I humbly submit to you again. Here is the kingdom. That God the Father might be all in all, the head of it all, the head of Christ, as Christ is the head of the church. The big picture of Scripture. You know it. It begins in the garden. Man is told to be subject to God's rule of not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And man says, I will not be subject to your rule. I will be an equal to you. I will be like God. And so man does what he does. Mankind, Adam and Eve, partake. And the curse, that curse is inherited to all humanity. The curse of saying, I will not subject myself to God. And as Paul says that in Romans 8, the sinful mind cannot submit to God. That is the inherited sin that is within all of us. So if you're here this morning and you are under the rule of yourself, you are under the wrong rule. And the Lord God will judge you according to who your ruler is. And if your ruler is not Jesus Christ the Lord, you will be treated as an enemy. And as many of his parables say, cut into pieces and put into the hellfire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I say that with sadness, overwhelming sadness. But for those who do receive, those who call upon his name, those who believe in him, he gave the right to become children of God. And we glory in that, church. We glory that we can be children of God and under the submission. And Jesus demonstrated, he renewed the garden, not of Eden, but in Gethsemane. And he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And he surrendered himself again to the Father. And he will do it again at the end of all time. And this is what this verse is pointing to, that he will make himself subject, that God, the Father, might be all in all, the head honcho, the big cheese, the big dog, the big boss, whatever you want to call him. He is God of all God, Lord of all lords, King of all kings, the ultimate authority. And I mean no disrespect to the Lord by calling him the big cheese. Pardon me. So what is the goal of all of this? What is the goal of you submitting to Walmart and the restaurant and the governing authorities? What is the point? Here's your point, Christian. You want to be like Jesus. If you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit because Jesus submitted. Submission is not a bad word. Do not let society teach you that submission is a bad word. It happens all day, every day. And every sports team, and every school and every job that you work and everywhere you go, submission happens all day, every day. This world would be a terrible, terrible place without submission. Christian, if you want to be Christ-like, you have to learn to submit. Have you learned to submit? Have you learned to submit, Christian? That is a very important and practical application for you. I dare say that there are any of us who have learned, who have submission completely down. And so I want to encourage and challenge each of us to look in our own lives and say, where am I not submitting to God's authority? Where am I making excuses or reasons why I don't have to submit to God's authority? In what ways am I saying, well, that's not really that big of a deal, or others are doing it, or I can get away with it, or nobody else knows, or whatever excuses we use, in what areas are you struggling with submission? And Christian, I want to tell you, if you want to be like Jesus Christ, our Lord, you have to learn to submit. I hesitate to even start the next verse, but I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to give you some homework this week, and then we'll discuss next week. So most people just skip over this. I talked to other pastors this week, and have talked to other pastors who have gone through 1 Corinthians 15, and have understood that this is not one that you spend a lot of time on, but we're going to, because we don't shy away from tough passages. So I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to let you figure it out, and then next week I'll give you my thoughts on this next passage. I don't want to detract from the main theme of our time together this morning. If you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit. But let me read this verse to you. Otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? So Christian, or member of church, First Baptist Church member, or former members, or whoever you are, y'all aren't former members yet, you're still members. Good standing. But you've been neglecting your attendance, so we're going to have to talk about that. Your challenge is to decide, do we need to begin a new ministry called the Baptism of the Dead, for the dead, rather, not of the dead, but the Baptism for the Dead. Why or why not? And I can tell you that other religious groups practice this openly. I would encourage you to figure out why they do that. And figure out, does that, why we in this church have not done that up to this point. So if you can make a good argument next week for baptism of the dead, then we want to be, by all means, obedient to the scripture. So your job this week, go and figure out, what does that mean? And I'll go ahead and tell you that the vast and overwhelming majority of Christians do not practice baptism on behalf of the dead. And so I want you to figure out why not. And do we need to change that trend? If you want to be a Christian, what do you have to do? You have to learn to submit. And Christian, let me say this finally. Submitting in the past is not good enough. And worded my phrase very clearly or carefully. If you want to be a Christian, you have to learn to submit. And that is an ongoing process. So Christian, learn to submit as an ongoing process and figure out how that looks, that we might proclaim Jesus to our family and our friends. And our family can't look to us and say, but you don't submit to, but you don't do this, but you don't do that. We can say, in every way I can be like my Lord Jesus, I will be. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, this morning we come together as a body of believers who have a problem submitting. And Lord, there are areas in our lives I know that each person in this room struggles with wanting to rule and reign over in our lives, that we think we know better. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for the audacity of thinking we know better. And give us a spirit that Jesus Christ our Lord has modeled to us of submission. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.